The book of Acts is where I'll be taking my text. The book of Acts in the 26th chapter, and I will be reading out of the King James Version of the Bible, which I do believe to be the authorized translation of the Word of God for us as English-speaking Americans to be using today. Chapter 26 in the book of Acts. Quite a few verses I'm going to read, but again, I feel these need to be read so you'll understand the whole scope of what's going on here. When you found your place, if reverence one, the Bible admitted this for thyself, then himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily felt that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every scene. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. That I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness that is in me, whereupon unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and that he should rise from the dead, and should show. And as he thus Gentiles, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let us pray. Holy Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your spirit I felt in these wonderful songs. But Lord, I stand before you a very needy. Lord, I can do absolutely nothing of myself. I pray, Father, you'd give me wisdom and understanding, and you'd touch me and anoint me, that, Lord, I might proclaim what thus saith the Lord, that your word, Father, it's your word, would go forth and accomplish that which is pleasing unto you. Lord, you'd be glorified, Jesus would be exalted, and you'd just have your will and way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you so very much, and you may be seated. Acts chapter 26, very familiar piece of Scripture, I'm quite sure. I'll give you just a brief description and history of the characters to set the scene. I've told you before, those of you that have had to endure through my preaching, I'm a visual person. And as I read the Word of God, I get a picture in my head. It helps me. And so when I do that, I try to convey that. The scene is set for Paul as he's brought before Festus and King Agrippa. And Bernice, who is King Agrippa's sister, is also there. And there's also a great multitude of people, I believe. The Bible says that, that's there when they bring Paul in. The first person I want to show you something about is Festus. Festus is the Roman governor at the time. He is the one who has replaced Felix. He is the one whom Paul has appealed to Caesar. And Festus, quite honestly, church, does not know what to do with him. And so as Agrippa and Bernice make their way to call on Festus to establish that relationship, if you will, Festus has asked King Agrippa, so why don't you listen to him, because I'm going to send him to Caesar, and quite honestly, I don't have anything to write down to send him for. I don't have anything to send him for. They couldn't prove nothing against him. He was falsely accused. And so we see Festus as the Roman governor who is going to send Paul on his appeal to Caesar. Secondly, we see in the Bible there's Agrippa. This would be King Herod Agrippa II. He is the son, none other, of Agrippa I, who had the Apostle James beheaded, who had Peter imprisoned in a plot to kill Peter. And it was also King Agrippa I, who the Lord smote down after persecuting the church. And that's in Acts 12. This same King Agrippa here that's addressed, he's the great-grandson of Herod the Great, who you'll remember in Matthew chapter 2, who had attempted to kill the infant baby Jesus. And in his great wrath, he has all the boys, 2 years and under, throughout the coast of in and around Bethlehem, slaughtered. So these were called the Herodians. Of interest and of note, King Agrippa II, who is the king we're speaking of here, that will hear Paul, when he dies, that will be the end of the reign of the Herodians. And then thirdly, we have Paul. Paul, of course, was one, I just read it to you, who was a Pharisee, who persecuted the church night and day, who persecuted Christians, but had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and who was called to be an apostle. So I want you to get these three figures in your mind, and Paul is brought forth to plead his own case, if you will. And notice Paul's situation. Paul had been imprisoned. He had been falsely accused. And when we come to chapter 26, Paul had been in prison and bound for 2 years. And look at verse 2. What is Paul's response? Surely Shane's response would not have been what the Apostle Paul was. Paul says, I think myself happy. Paul's manner, church, was to preach. That was Paul's manner. His main goal, no matter what, was to get the gospel out that souls might be saved. Amen? And in verse 3, he's speaking to King Agrippa. And at the end of the verse, he says, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Now, I'm a very simple person. Most of you that know me that. But that would be my plea, that for just a few days, that you would hear me patiently, that the Holy Spirit might be able today. So Paul's situation, he is in prison, he is falsely accused, but notice his attitude after bound for 2 years, he thinks himself happy. And I begin to think, What would we, most of us, if we're brought forth after 2 years of being bound, falsely accused and imprisoned, what would be our defense? Well, Paul's defense, I'm proud to say, is none less than his testimony. Paul just gives his testimony. He just begins to expound to King Agrippa his personal encounter of what him on the road to Damascus that day. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what does he say? He just gives his testimony. Sometimes that's the best thing, church, we as Christians can do, is just share our testimony. Amen. And I want you to know there's an appeal here. Paul has an appeal as he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. He has an appeal to Agrippa. He tells him that in verse 27 that he knows that he believes because King Agrippa knew the law. He knew the prophecy. Amen? He knew these things. He knows, Paul knows, as he's giving his testimony to him, he knows that he knows the prophecy and all these things about how Christ should come, how he should suffer, how he should die, and how he should be raised again. So his appeal to him, and it demands a response. Now here's my message. This won't be very long. It demands a response after he gives his testimony, and he tells him that he knows that he believeth the prophet. In verse 28, Paul, after confronting King Agrippa, it demands a response, church. Can I say to you that each person underneath the sound of my voice, for me, it demanded a response. Can I say to you today, church, that a response of putting it off, or a response of not responding at all, is a response. It is a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It demands a response. The gospel message demands that we respond once we hear it. It demands a decision. Sadly, verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now as I studied this out, some of the theologians and the people that write commentaries, their view on this was literally the translation that he said, Paul, do you think you can persuade me to be a Christian in such a small amount of time? And that may very well have been true. But I cannot help but believe in Agrippa's response, according to the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost had gotten a hold of him as Paul related his testimony and was showing him need for a Savior. It demanded a response. I want to look at his response. His response begins with almost. Almost, church, means very nearly, but not entirely. Very nearly, but not entirely. Brother Adam, he plays basketball. If he has the best game of his life and scores 50 points, and they get beat 70-69, they almost won. But whether it was 1 point or 40 points, it makes no difference. It's still the same end result, which is very nearly, but not entirely. I read a story this week of a gentleman who had went with his wife to revival, and they got to the revival, and the altar, the invitation was given, the altar was open, and the man stood there weeping, demanded a response, but yet they left. He gets in the vehicle, and they left the church where the revival was being held, and they got down the road, and he began weeping uncontrollably, turned the vehicle around, drove back to the church, come in through the doors. The man of God, the evangelist, was still there. He said, "Sir, do you want to be saved?" He said, "I want you to pray for me." He said, "Sir, I asked you, do you want to be saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior?" He said, "I want you to pray for me." He said, "Sir, that's not what I asked you. Do you want to be saved?" Sadly enough, the gentleman bowed, and the evangelist bowed with him, and he prayed for him. But the gentleman never did pray that prayer of confession and repentance, asking Christ to come into his heart and save him. 6 months later, that same gentleman, he had lost his wife and his family and his job and his home. He lost it all. That gentleman almost got saved. But almost won't get you in, church. Almost won't get you in. Very nearly, but not entirely. Number two, persuade. To persuade means to advise or to urge or to plead with. And I began to think on this word persuade. And I began to think on how, Lord, how can I come in here today when You have burdened my heart with such a message? How can I persuade someone underneath the sound of my voice to be a Christian? How can I, Lord? And I begin to think, well, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that there is a real and a literal place called hell. And I could tell you about hell and the torments, the eternal damnation in that place, the eternal separation from God. And I could try some way to convey to you today this terrible place that God had prepared for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. Then I thought, maybe I could come in here and I could persuade you that if hell weren't bad enough, I could just persuade you by telling you that God loves you, and He loves you so much that He sent His only Son. I have one daughter, just one daughter, and I love her more than life itself. I couldn't give my youngin' for a stranger or for some murderer. Yet God give His Son. Our lesson this morning was on Jesus and His payment for sins in Sunday school. Yet He went. I thought, maybe, Lord, I can persuade them that this precious Son of God went to Calvary and died for us. Died for everyone. Maybe that would persuade them. And then, Lord, maybe I could tell them that, Lord, because He had power on death, hell, and the grave, and because He lives, they can live too. Or, Lord, maybe I could tell them about heaven, about this place that, quite honestly, folks, besides what the Word of God tells me, I don't believe my mind can honestly comprehend what He has prepared for those that love Him. So maybe I could tell them about heaven, and that we'll be able to be there with Jesus and our loved ones and all those that have accepted Christ forever and ever and ever. Maybe I could tell them that if they'll accept Jesus as their Savior, that doesn't mean the road's going to be easier just because you get saved. But it does mean that you have a home and that you'll have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that'll never leave you, forsake you, that you can cry out to, that will always, always, always hear you and will always answer you, that will intercede for you. Never fail you. Never fail you. And then after all that, I began to think, with all these words I just spoke about persuasion, they're just words for me that I pour out from my heart. But I can't persuade you. If the Holy Ghost knocks on your heart, He's the one who does the persuading. And number three, a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And a Christian is a believer in Christ and one who follows Christ. It's a term that we take, quite honestly, lightly. Because that word Christian begins with the word Christ. And we're to be Christ-like. But to be a Christian, there has to be one step, a beginning step. And that is the step of faith to accept Jesus as your Savior. I do not care what you have done. I do not care where you have come from. I do not care about your past. I do not care about none of that. The song says, just as I am, just as I am. If we try to reason in our minds that we'll clean ourselves up and fix ourselves up before we come to Him, it'll never work. Just come to Him just as you are. Let Him do the cleaning up. Paul's manner was to preach. Amen? In chapter 24, I want to show you this. And I'm almost done. In chapter 24, verse 24, Felix, remember I told you Festus is the Roman governor who has took the place of Felix. Well, Felix is the one who has had Paul bound. And Felix calls for Paul. And verse 24 says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." Verse 25, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Felix calls for Paul. Paul tries to share the gospel with him. Felix heard. The Bible says that he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. But see, just as I told you at the beginning with King Agrippa, the gospel message demands a response. And it was no different when presented to Felix. What's Felix's response? He tells him, trembled. The Bible says he trembled. I believe he was under conviction. Good old Holy Ghost conviction. And he trembled. And the Bible says his answer, his response was, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now I want to bring your attention to something. Look at the next verse. "He hoped also that money should have been given him for Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." Apparently, Felix, he was interested. And he wanted to hear more from Paul, but I never find nothing in the Word of God. I never find nothing in the Word of God where Felix, that one day when he was trembling, when the Holy Ghost had spoke to him, and his opportunity was presented to him, where it was ever presented again. He does not owe you and I but one chance. We have the mentality of thinking that we'll just go on our lives and we'll just put it away to a convenient time and we'll call for the Holy Ghost when we ought to. And it does not work that way. You will not get saved when you want to. I couldn't and you can't. When the Holy Spirit is dispatched to you, wraps those fingers around your heart, and you know that you're lost, it demands the response. When you say, go thy way for a convenient season, then I'll hear about it. I won't hear about it right now. He does not have to come back to us again. And somehow in our minds we reason that we're going to live long lives, and I hope everybody does, but even if we do, we're all appointed a day to die. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Felix had a response to make. Sadly, his response was the same as Agrippa's. Almost, very nearly, but not entirely. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape? Can I say that Jesus is our escape? That cross became a bridge. A bridge for us as sinners, that we might be reconciled to God. Undeserving? Yes. But He loved us. So that cross became a bridge, our way of escape, that we could get to Him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? 2 Corinthians 6:2, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, that's right now, church. I mean, I cannot pour my heart out and stress it to you enough. Now is the accepted time. When the Holy Ghost is drawing, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. In closing, Jesus loves you. He loves you. I know it's a simple song. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a simple song. We have to have childlike faith. Just believe with your heart, not your head, but with your heart, that Jesus died for you. He'll save you. I promise you, He will save you. Now, I have said this before. You'll say now, Brother Shane, this is a very strong statement. And I realize it is. And I've told you before, God never said that I'd be popular. He never said, Shane, when I called you, you're going to be popular. He never said that. He never promised me that. You say, preacher, how can you stand there and tell me that you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved? I won't tell you, church, how I can. You do not have, I believe, you do not have to know the date. You don't have to know that date. However, now listen, however, you must in your mind be able to take Satan and yourself back to that hour where you felt Holy Ghost conviction, where you were drawn by the Holy Ghost, where you knelt on your knees under conviction and you cried out to Jesus to save you. If you can do that, tell Him to get behind you. If you cannot do that and you reason in your mind that you're 99% saved, you're 100% lost. Now that's hard preaching, but I'm trying to help you. I told my wife this morning, I was in there, my stomach was doing somersaults. And she said, "You'll be fine, just go up there and preach whatever God gives you." And I said, "No, honey, you don't understand." I said, "You just don't understand. God gives you a message like this, and he just all but told me that somebody's going to be lost. And what you don't understand, Brother Darren gets up here week in and week out behind this sacred desk, and he preaches. He has a responsibility. He answers to God. It's not his boss. It's not the governor. It's not the president. It ain't the United Nations. It's the holy and righteous God." We'll read the words of this song. The name of this song is "Almost Persuaded." Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost." That's my message. Everyone stand, bow your heads, please. Christians, pray. We'll give an invitation. Not here to embarrass you. I promise you, I ain't here to embarrass you. If you're here not saved, I cannot save you. But I can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Would you come? If the Spirit's bidding you, if He's dealing with you, would you come? Would you come as they sing? Church, can you call Him Lord today? Jehovah.
mighty God and King.
If I could come get you, if I could do it for you, church, I'd do it.
Born of a virgin, Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. But the angel called him.
Someone here, and for whatever reason you didn't come forward, I'll be here for a while. If you'll find me, we'll get down this old blessed book, and I promise you, Jesus will save you. Don't let that word almost keep you out of heaven. Don't let your pride keep you out of heaven. One announcement, Brother Blue announced Wednesday night we're having our meal and closing out thing over there where we have some games for the Awana kids, and it's been a blessed year. And Brother Bean, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart and your sacrifice. Appreciate all the volunteers and leaders in Awana. But you leaders, if you would bring some drinks and some chips, and the church will provide the pizza, we'd be very much appreciative. Church, prayer room, men's and women's, respectively, at 5:45 and service at 6, and thank you so much again for being here. Brother John Jackson, would you come up here and dismiss us, please? I hope you have a blessed day. Blessed day.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to come before your throne. Thank you, Lord, for being in charge today. You know, we know that you're in charge of the small things and the great things, the disasters, the things around this world. Lord, we know you're in charge of our life. Lord, if we can just allow you to be in charge. Lord, we ask that you be with us this afternoon as we go about our business, and we pray that you bring us back here this evening, safe and sound. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.